Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen. In today's episode, we get into the thick of it with Corey Stiles and the Thick and Chunky YouTube show. It's literally the greatest crossover event in the history of the Can Be Now podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We head over to the Double Ot Ranch to talk history, business, and share some of the most delicious and creative burgers you can find anywhere.
And the Canby Fire District is known for putting out fires, not starting them, but this weekend they did both. We'll tell you all about it. But first, the news.
Clackamas County has spent the better part of a year studying the question of what to do about the Canby Ferry, and tomorrow night, they're finally going to tell us what they think. The ferry is closely tied to the history of the area, with a legacy going back over 100 years, and it's one of only three operating on the Willamette River. But in terms of its overall fit with the county transportation system, the ferry is not very effective or cost-effective, and is poorly used. It's also due to be replaced in 15 to 20 years, at an estimated cost of $2 to $3 million, a figure that some of the county commissioners have already balked at. The main alternative would be a toll bridge at the location, perhaps with the ferry still operating on a reduced schedule as a tourist attraction and nod to the local history. County transportation staff will present their findings from the feasibility study from 6 to 8:30 p.m. January 15th at the Canby Four Square Church. Their findings will include information on financial costs, traffic impacts, and other issues related to the potential alternatives, such as building a toll bridge or discontinuing the ferry altogether. For impacted residents and anyone else who cares about what happens to the ferry, another date to mark on your calendars is from 6 to 8 p.m. on February 19th, also at the Canby Four Square Church. This will be your chance to testify before commissioners and let them know what you think should be done. A decision is expected after staff completes their final report, which is expected in late February or March. There is nothing like taking a trip to the Canby Public Library. You can check out the latest from your favorite authors, expand your horizons with the hottest new nonfiction, and pick up a rake. Or a pair of binoculars while you're at it. That's right. In 2019, Canby will be one of eight Clackamas County libraries piloting the Library of Things program. The program, which is a partnership with the County Sustainability and Solid Waste Program, will add musical instruments, cooking pans and utensils, board games, and more to the list of items that can be checked out from the local library. Hillsborough Public Library opened a Library of Things in 2015, starting with board games. It now hosts over 200 items, including an air fryer, karaoke machine, and VHS to DVD converters. Way to stay up with the times. This past summer, Beaverton City Library also opened a Library of Things. A Library of Things helps promote a more sustainable community. Lacey Ludington with the Sustainability and Solid Waste Program says, these collections support a growing trend of people downsizing and decluttering their lives from the stuff we tend to accumulate. Residents can take a survey to offer feedback about what types of items they would like to check out at their local library at www.bit.ly/libraryofthingsinput. Surveys can also be completed at local libraries. Clackamas County Tourism and Cultural Affairs, in partnership with George Washington University, is conducting a survey to better understand Clackamas County residents' perceptions of tourism in the region. All residences of Clackamas County are eligible to participate in the survey at www.bit.ly/2EGFQX7. Yeah, if you didn't get that, we'll try and have that on our page. The survey will take about 4 minutes, and the feedback will help guide tourism projects in Clackamas County. Participation in the survey is strictly voluntary. All information collected will be used only for the research and will be kept confidential and anonymous. Surveys completed before January 24th will be entered to win one of three prize packages, each worth more than $200. For more information, contact Lizzie Keenan, 503-655-8458, or lizzie@mounthoodterritory.com. A Clackamas County man was arrested this week for allegedly beating his girlfriend nearly to death with a piece of wood. Shortly after midnight Wednesday, January 9th, sheriff's deputies responded to a report of domestic violence in a residential neighborhood in Welsh's, an unincorporated community on the edge of the Mount Hood National Forest in eastern Clackamas County. Initial reports suggested that the suspect, 61-year-old William Joseph Bowley, had beaten the victim to death and was threatening to kill himself. Deputies made contact with Bowley by phone and instructed him to walk outside and surrender to police custody, which he did without incident. Paramedics from Hoodland Fire District then located the victim lying on a couch in the residence and determined she had actually survived the assault but was suffering from traumatic injuries, including a severe head wound. The sheriff's office described her as conscious but disoriented while being treated at the scene. She was transported to an area hospital for treatment. Bowley was transported to the Clackamas County Jail and booked for attempted murder. His bail was set to $500,000.
Hi, Ray Keene here from the Canby Center. You are not alone. If you're having thoughts about ending your life, reach out to someone. Call 1-800-273-TALK, that's 1-800-273-8255, or call a local church such as Canby Christian Church at 503-266-4018, Canby Foursquare Church 503-266-4444, or Zora Lutheran Church 503-266-4061. You know, people around you care even when you may not see it. You are not alone. Brought to you by the Canby Suicide Prevention Task Force.
So we got a bit of a special show for you guys today. We've got Tyler, my producer, on the show with us. Say hi, Tyler. Hi. He went to get drinks. He'll be back in a second. But we're here at the Double Aught Ranch. We've got the owner, Claude DeCourcy.
Hi.
And also Corey Stiles from the Thick and Chunky Show from YouTube, man.
Hello, everybody.
And we're just here. We're having burgers. We just recorded a show for Corey. And that was really fun. And
phenomenal.
We're here to hear more about Claude, about the Double Aught Ranch, from Claude, about the Double Aught Ranch and mm-hmm. some of the history. Can you, this place is like a million years old.
Where do we start?
Right.
Well, this first started in 1933.
First started in 2010 when Claude DeCourcy came to work.
No. Right. Canby was not Canby until 2010.
Yes.
When I stepped off the street of 99E.
And then people were like, whoa, there's a town here.
It was built or started in 1933. It was called Diane's Barbecue. Mm-hmm. And it went on for, I don't know exactly how long, but after Diane's Barbecue was the first time it became known as a spinning wheel. And I believe it was Moe's spinning wheel. And there was another spinning wheel in Milwaukee off 99E.
Uh-huh.
And they did chicken and dumplings, comfort food. And over the years, from the late 30s, early 40s, up until about 2010, it was a spinning wheel through various owners, various entities. So I think there was seven or eight different spinning wheel businesses by different people.
Yeah.
But it was first Moe's, I believe.
And it was always kind of a restaurant, right?
Always been a restaurant,
people think
bar.
Of it as a bar. But it was both.
It's your typical North American roadhouse.
Yeah, stopover. Yeah.
There's food, dancing, music.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been for over 85 years.
I'll stop you real quick. Tyler's back. Tyler, want to say hi? I just did your voice earlier, so.
Oh, hi. Is it actually picking me up, though? Should I move over to that seat over there?
Yeah, does that work?
I'm going to take my food with me.
And it's interesting for me to be here right now just because I have lived in Canby all my life.
I feel like a lot of people are
this is the first time I've well, I came in here one other time, but it was only because my car wouldn't start and I was out in the parking lot and I needed
your phone.
I needed a jump.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count.
Definitely doesn't.
It always counts. Everything counts.
Corey, you live just up the road here, and you hadn't been here before.
I do, and I love my food as much as anybody else, so it surprises me.
Yeah.
They have all the type of things that I genuinely like to consume, and at a reasonable price, if not almost giving it away. So.
I came and ate here one time and had the burger that you're having, the Double Lot Ranch, and sent you a picture of it, and that was basically you were sold. You're like, yeah, we're doing this show. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when I came in today and I looked at the menu, I was already sold on the Double Lot, so that's what I knew I was going to choose. But then I saw your grilled cheeseburger, and then I saw the pizza burger. And I was like, well, I have to at least eat here 3 times within the next couple of weeks, because I got goals.
No. Right. And then that doesn't even get you to the steak or the prime rib, too. So.
It's super interesting. So for me, as someone who's from Canby, if you live in Canby and you pass by here every day when you're coming or leaving or
never
whatever,
check it out.
I'd highly suggest it. Like, just coming
you'd
in
be
and
surprised,
it
you know,
out.
being in this location for almost a century.
Yeah,
we still have people who say the same thing. I've lived here since 1974, and I've never
almost 90 years.
Never been. Yeah, your listeners can't see it, but this is a complete history of the spinning wheel.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, from 1933.
You guys are not going to believe it. He just pulled out this amazing, like, leather-bound book.
Yeah.
It's got like, it's got parchment.
It's Lord of the Rings right now.
Yeah, go get the fire going. So anyway, the history.
Yeah, so it's from 1933 all the way until the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But 1933 to 41 was Diane's Barbecue. 42 to 46, it was the Trading Post. 1947 is when it first became a spinning wheel with Paul Mumpower's Chicken and Dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And is that the picture that's hanging out over there?
That picture is from 1951.
Okay.
And that's when it was Peabody's. 1948, it was... That's when the first spinning wheel lost their license to serve.
Oh, no.
1949, Sam Nared picked it up and it became Peabody's in 1950. 1952 became Ernie's Dine and Dance. 53 to 55, it was again the spinning wheel.
I was going to say, a lot of people call it the spinning wheel, but it was a bunch of different things.
1955 to 63 was Moy's spinning wheel.
Moist?
Moy. M-O-Y. M-O-Y.
Oh, Moy's.
So,
M-O-Y.
It looks like there's a lot of people that have had their hands on this building and the business. What do you think that you've brought to this that's different than anybody else?
You know, it's people. When people come in here and they say, "Hey, you've done such a good job. You know, you're doing well. All that," which is, as a business owner, it's I mean, that's really good to hear.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're doing something to the point that you're affecting someone's perception of what they previously had.
Right.
When someone comes in and goes, "Oh my God, you've cleaned it up so well."
Right.
Yeah. the previous thought or perception of it was that it was dirty,
right.
You know, all that, which you hear a lot of.
Yeah. Oh man, when Moy had it, oh my gosh.
Oh, you know, right? The 50s, though, man.
Well, it's what, an 80-year-old building, though, right?
It's almost 90 years old. Almost 90 years old. But when people come in and say, "Hey, you've done a really good job," I mean, that feels good.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and it goes, "Hey, you know, maybe I am doing something right." But you treat people right. You give them a good product. You get to know. You get to know them. You support the community that they live in.
Yeah.
You do everything that you can to just be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And it comes back.
Sure.
You post funny stuff on Facebook.
Well, I have to. That's kind of my thing.
I love it. Every Friday to promote his prime wave, he comes up with these like incredibly creative like comedy scripts. It's always different.
Except for this Friday, we couldn't because of the government.
Oh, that was awesome. Because
the Office of Comedic Value is closed.
Comedic Value was closed, and then it turned out the spell checking was closed as well.
Right.
You said Chrome Rib.
Prom Rib instead of Prime Rib. But that was on purpose.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, definitely. Just adding to the comedy.
I mean, you can't. I mean, Canby Now Grammar Police.
Jumped on you.
They are in full force.
They are.
Although I am a conversation starter on Canby Now.
Nice.
That's a big goal.
It is. You're not a visual storyteller, though. That's me.
You are a visual. I don't know what the status of a visual storyteller compared
versus
to... anybody can tell a story, right?
Visually.
I mean, hey, it's the sun. It's a sunny day.
Here's... But that you do get some of that when you come into. I don't know. Again, I've missed. I had to go do other stuff.
You know, we pretty much just started.
But with the menu, too. Like, it's super endearing to come in and you see a menu.
Let's read some of it. So Tyler's going to read some of our favorite entries from the Double Odd.
Do we have any, like...
Is that too loud, Frankie?
That's fine.
Oh my goodness.
Gentle Thoughts by Tyler.
Pulled pork. So basically, we put a hot dog in the microwave for too long and it exploded. We put some barbecue sauce on it for flavor. And coleslaw too.
So appetizing, Claude.
Okay, maybe we can...
Oh, this is a good one.
The Inferno. We cut a slice of the sun and put it on a bun. Fiery hot pepper jack cheese. Bacon, jalapenos, a habanero. Maybe a ghost pepper. Razor blades. And a gallon of sriracha and lava.
Oh my gosh.
I knew what I was here to do. I had a goal, and that was the Darburger.
You know,
it's funny you mentioned that, because that almost made me run away. Like, very and I like spicy food, but I do not like razor blades.
I feel like I'm auditioning for our ad spaces right now. Like, if we're hearing this, Friday, like, wow, he's pretty dynamic.
Claude, like, goes back to the kitchen, like, how did a rate sheet get in my, like, slip this so in weird, here? Yeah. Like, that's so funny.
Yeah, no, but these, I won't charge you anything for
these
that.
These are really, really fun to read. Like, the pizza burger even is even a little more local.
Yep.
We called Fatano's and said, put a pizza between two buns. They said, okay, boom. That's your description for the pizza burger. Which almost is like, well, I still have no idea what's on it.
Right.
We so I'm going to order it and hope it's...
Right, but if you love Fatano's, you're going to love the pizza burger here, too.
Yeah,
it's super cool. People love Fatano's. Yeah.
And we're really big with local business. Yeah. You know, we go out all the time through... try out other places in town. We post, like I went to Filbert's and we posted from Filbert's that Double Lot Ranch was eating at Filbert's, you know, hey, good food and, you know, all that type of
love
stuff.
It.
We do, we go to FOB all the time.
And those are like identical audiences that you guys serve. Like,
Filbert's.
Very seamless overlap. Yeah.
This is where they come after they leave.
Yeah. All right, now I need some real fun.
You go to Filbert's, they have a nice, good food, you lose a bet, and you have to come here. We'll take it, though. We'll take it.
Yeah, for sure.
But no, we try to support local business, and we even throw it in our menu, too, you know?
Yeah.
We have a couple customers that we threw in there as well.
Oh, very cool.
So we have
for name the burgers after them and stuff.
No. Oh. So we have a keto burger.
Yeah.
And one of our customers, Teddy, was on a keto diet for a long time.
Yeah.
So if you read the description on the keto burger,
some guy named Teddy said we had to have this. Apparently, it's healthy because we wrapped it in lettuce, no bread. Yeah. There you go. Thank you, Teddy, for explaining what keto is.
And
keto.
Now Teddy's eating regular buns.
Now he's just eating regular buns.
Forget this. Yeah.
He found all the weight he lost.
So coming back to the history, like, you know, you obviously have a really good grasp of the history of this place, and you came in not as the owner, you came in as a bouncer, right?
Yeah.
Now you're the owner. When you're approaching that, like, how much does that history kind of play in as far as wanting to preserve that, kind of thinking that that adds to the value of this place, or do you sort of look at things the way they are right now?
Well, I mean, every older bar or restaurant has the bones, has the character.
Yeah.
And everything that this place has been in the past adds to that.
It does mean something to you.
So we try to embrace it. I mean, the building hasn't been knocked down and it's still open, so there's something has to be going right at some point.
Well, you see the pictures and the name's changed, but the building looks the same.
The exact same. Yeah, we have a picture of it from 1951 in the bar area, and it's the trees are a bit taller now,
right?
But it's the exact same thing. The building's been added on since, and you can see that, but I mean, that's when 99E was a one-lane highway, and they got the old 51 Packards out in front of it.
Right.
It's history,
yeah.
You know? I mean, the only other restaurant in the area was Top of the Hill that could compete with the longevity of being of constantly being a food establishment. And it's just one of those things, you have to embrace it.
Yeah.
If you don't embrace it and you're trying to make it something new, I don't think it would work.
Yeah. You were telling us before we started recording about the way you approached the food side. You didn't come to this thinking like, I'm going to do a restaurant. Like, no. You sort of did the like, I want to get people in here for my bar.
Yeah.
So we got to have food. And then you just sort of decided to have some fun with it.
Right. You have to. And when you're going to sell food, you can't just go, hey, here's a burger and a flat top and some buns and there you go.
Well, some people do that.
it is a business model.
I have been in bars.
It is a business model. But if you're going to do something, you do it right.
Yes.
You know, you three people who have never had a burger here before are like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Why did I not know about this 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. I
also feel like you wrote the entire menu when you were incredibly hungry one day. Like, you were just like, I want a burger with a pizza on it, real cheese, and like a huge pickle. And then that was the menu.
It was off my meds that
day. What do you want? What do you want for a breakfast? Burger.
Meat.
With ham, eggs, onions, so everything.
Yes, exactly.
Throw some razor blades on there. Lava.
It was
the
really
razor blades are what almost got me.
We do have people who ordered Inferno Burger with no razor blades.
I saw it as a challenge, and I was like, oh, dude.
Challenge accepted.
There's magicians who eat razor blades.
That was
a thing.
That was during Claude's depressed period, unfortunately. So
I was off my meds that day.
Yes, he's gotten better. So,
but no, if you're gonna do food, you might as well do it right.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, our food isn't our main business, but we
embrace it.
We have to do it.
Yeah.
And so we just do it 110%.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you had a movie this summer. We're gonna ask you about that too.
Lorelei.
What was that? Like, you closed down the bar for a day?
Yeah, they were here for like 20 hours, 100 actors.
Yeah.
Extras, Grip guys, Sons of Grip from Portland were here. They were super cool guys.
Cool.
Producers, makeup artists, I mean, you name it. It was, I mean, full-on Hollywood movie production in Canby.
Yeah.
And
we're going to have one of the producers on the show in a few weeks.
Oh, nice.
To tell you people a little more,
about
it.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. But it's cool that it was filmed here. There was like a fight scene.
A shootout scene. We had a scene in the back over here that was NC-17. There was a live band that they brought in.
Yeah.
Johnny Wheels, who's been on every TV news show in Portland.
Okay, well, everyone's dying to know, were you in it, Claude?
No, I was not in it.
Did you want to be?
No. But all my staff were in
they
it.
They were?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Jeff, Nancy, DJ Rob, everybody was extras in the movie.
Yeah.
So it was really fun. I mean, everybody had a good time. And people got to see how a movie production is actually, I mean, it's just not like one take. And I mean, nobody does anything in one take anymore.
Right, exactly. That would be crazy.
But, you know, you see the whole process, the director giving everybody their cues and directions, and people going through all the motions, the camera guys, the sound guy, the light, sunshade guy. I mean, it's not just one person and two actors, and there's a movie, you're done. I mean, there's literally 40 people to do a 45-second scene.
Right, right.
So it's fun to see that. We had some of the Canby people came down and watched, and they thought it was cool.
It was like, sitting up lawn chairs, like watching it or something. It seemed
it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a really cool thing to do.
Yeah.
So we were actually approached by four different production companies to do four different movies series.
Oh, awesome.
So,
yeah.
That was the first
Lorelei too.
We got two Netflix series came in, and then there was another movie that we're looking. So
it's very cool.
Do like a local documentary and story of the Double Ot Ranch.
We're pretty famous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people are dying to know.
In this 1,000-square-foot area.
Exactly.
You guys are going to get your own Netflix show at some point.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the Double Ot Ranch.
Yeah. It's going to be called Landscaping.
Yeah.
Right on the front. It's going to be a landscaping show.
Well, I wanted to point out, because, you know, podcasting is not a visual medium, but it's super cool to hang out in this family area. But you guys do have a bar area. Right now, there's a live band playing, and it looks like there's a pool tournament.
Yeah, we do pool tournaments every Sunday.
And so you've got two reasons to show up happening at the same time.
And we're here.
And
three.
Of course, yeah.
Three.
And then you guys are talking about the kids karaoke that happens on Saturdays, and there's just so much here that, that you pass by every day, and and it's so worth it to come by on a weekend and just check it out.
Hey, we get a lot of families coming. We have a family that comes in every Friday, and they sit in this back booth area over here, and they play Scrabble.
Yeah, and they're here. Because you got games over here.
Yeah, we do have all the games. Yeah. But they just sit back there. It's husband, wife, and their daughters, and they just sit back there and they play Scrabble, and they're there for a couple hours, and they just hang out, and it's just,
and
they
hardly anyone calls them nerds or anything. I mean, it's very, very nice. Like, people aren't screaming.
I don't even know what that word even means. But we, you know, you get families that come in, and
I love it. Yeah, that's great.
You can teach your kids to play pool.
Yeah,
there's video games.
Your kids can teach you to play pool.
Right.
Yeah,
there's everything. That we have a couple high school kids who come in just to hang out because they can.
Right.
So
they're just like so close to the bar. Like,
well, there's no place for anybody 21 and under to play pool.
Yeah.
If they don't have a pool table at their house.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's have, you know, a competition diamond pool table for high school 3-year-olds.
Yeah.
We live dangerously.
Yeah, you do. You sure do. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's really fun. We'll definitely have you back on sometime if that works.
I'll be out here tomorrow. Fine.
Yeah, let's do it tomorrow. Oh, you guys
need any help? I can point and click.
Yeah, love it. Okay, anything to add?
We're awesome.
Yeah. There you go.
Tyler's awesome.
Thanks. All right, guys.
Cambie's awesome.
Take a quick break. Stay tuned.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. This weekend, the Canby Fire District held a Burn to Learn training exercise where they, well, burned a house to learn how to put it out. Don't worry, it was a house that the property owner wanted to demolish. The house is located right across from district headquarters on South Pine Street. It gave the district's newest recruits, some of whom had graduated academy just 2 weeks earlier, the chance to test their skills in a live fire situation. The Canby Now podcast was there through our partnership with CTV Channel 5. Here's Canby Fire Division Chief Todd Gary.
Are we ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. So we are outside of our building now. We're looking at the safety aspect. We're laying hose lines out, getting everything in place. And as you can see behind me, the firefighters are all there. They're getting ready to do their walkthrough. We have to walk through and make sure everybody knows where every room is, where every light is, and where every exit is. So if something goes wrong during their training burn, because it's controlled, but it's not totally controlled. So if something goes wrong, they know where to exit. And you'll see in the behind me, there's even an A on the side of the building. We identify A, B, C, and D sides of the building. So everything is perfectly clear when we go through to do these training burns. And we'll do a walkthrough with you in just a minute.
So why don't you tell us just a little bit about why you're doing this? I mean, firefighters are supposed to fight fires, not start them, right? What are you doing?
Yeah, so we're here and it's training.
Yeah.
And we don't get the opportunity a lot of times for live fire training. Mm-hmm. We would rather have our guys make some mistakes and see their first fire in a training environment rather than a real fire environment.
Sure. And this is a cool opportunity because we're pretty close to home base here, just across the street from Canby Fire District.
Yeah, you know, we don't get these opportunities very often to be this close
in
to
town.
Home for one in town. And the beauty about in town is we have 5 fire hydrants. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed we're hooked to several hydrants? During a training exercise, we have to have more than one water supply. So if we were in the rural area, we'd have several water tenders lined up because we have to come off at different water tenders to supply the water so we have all our safety lines. So if one fails, we have another one for a backup.
Yeah, yeah. As far as the training, I mean, when you have a real fire, you guys just go. Like, you know, something like this, like we've been here all morning, you know, there's all kinds of preparation and stuff that you guys do. Talk about the value of that.
So the prep, there's an incident action plan, and that's a plan put into place to cover everything that we're going to do today, from the safety to which crews go in and who's on which crews.
Yeah.
All that's put together, and it's all about safety. It's all about making this as safe as possible. Because when we go out on a real fire, sometimes that safety aspect is always there. We always fight fire safely, but sometimes it can get a little bit Western for an easy term.
Sure. Do you have firefighters that are pretty new? I mean, you talked about wanting to expose them in the training environment, or I feel like most of these guys are fairly experienced.
So we have some guys that finished their academy about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so you have some new guys.
We've got some brand new guys.
Yeah.
They have been at live fire, but it was super controlled. It was at a training facility, and it's a propane-powered fire.
Okay.
So it's very controlled. They can shut it off. You
it's
can
literally
get it hot.
On a control. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it hot, and it's real. It's very realistic.
Yeah.
But not like this type of fire.
Cool. It's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah.
You have to. You know, we hate to see people lose things.
Sure.
You know, you always say, "This is our opportunity to fight some fire,
right.
Have some fun,
without that aspect,
and do what we've trained to do."
Yeah.
You know, we've trained, and sometimes you don't get those other opportunities, and this is that opportunity to laugh and have a good time, and nobody's lost anything, and actually what we're burning down,
nobody's in danger. I mean, other than the firefighters.
Yeah, this thing's coming down for improvements in the city.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a commercial building here.
Yeah.
So it's really a win for everybody.
Yeah, cool, thanks Todd.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guests today, Claude DeCourcy and Corey Stiles. Hey, if you liked what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
On our next show, we'll be bringing you the latest news from two of the biggest local stories in our area right now. Tonight, Project Shakespeare faces its first hurdle as the proposed 531,000 square foot distributing facility goes before Canby Planning Commission for its first public hearing. Then on Tuesday, Clackamas County will share the results of their feasibility study looking at the future of the Canby Ferry. The results could have an impact on the local transportation system for years to come. We'll tell you all about it right here on the Canby Now podcast.
And if you have a news tip or an idea for a guest we should have on our show, or suggestions for how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanbyNow, or on our website, canbynowpod.com.